Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A few weeks ago, I came across a list that one of the members here shared in Bible study on Tuesday morning. We got a kick out of it, and I think you will too. It's a list titled, You Might Be a Lutheran If. It goes, you might be a Lutheran if you sing stand up for Jesus while sitting down. You might be a Lutheran if it takes you 10 minutes to say goodbye. I think that may be more of a Midwestern issue, maybe not a Lutheran-specific one. You might be a Lutheran if you feel guilty about not feeling guilty. You might be a Lutheran if the church is on fire and you rush in to save the coffee pot. How many of you are coffee drinkers out there? All right, so there's a few of you that will be running in the church with me. That's a little bit of a comfort. And for those who are Star Wars fans, especially with May 4th coming up, I think you'll appreciate this one. You might be a Lutheran if you're watching Star Wars, and when they say, may the Force be with you, you reply, and also with you. We find them humorous. We see ourselves in this list. And we're reminded that they're outward signs of our inner identity as Lutherans. This whole list leads us to the question, how do we know that we are really Lutheran? How do we know that we're really Lutheran? Well, today we're going to address a similar question, a question addressed by John in his epistle writing, a question that is not specific to Lutheran identity, but to that of Christ's own children, that, especially for Good Shepherd Sunday, of Christ's own flock. What does it mean for us to be sheep? How do we know that we are sheep? Well, if we created a list of what actual attributes or characteristics of a sheep may look like, we could talk about the white, thick wool on a sheep. We could talk about the cute little pink ears or the cute nose on the sheep. Maybe its shorter neck and its scrawny little legs. Maybe we go beyond just the physical attributes and start talking about the way that it sounds, the noise that it makes, or how, of all animals, sheep aren't quite known for their intelligence, are they? There's a lot of ways in which you can describe and recognize what a sheep is. Well, in our epistle reading, John describes what it's like to be one of Christ's own sheep, to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. And he describes it, the defining characteristic, as love. He says, beginning with verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. By this we shall know, not just a might, not just might be a sheep, but you will know that you are one of his sheep, or as John puts it, of the truth. The first characteristic that John throws out there is that of love, and he goes right to the supreme act of love itself, self-sacrificial love. If one of us here in the congregation were to be in danger, Christ and John here through the epistle tells us that we as Christians, one of the flock, are to love that neighbor and to even be willing to lay down our life for our neighbor. That's the extent, that's the bar at which he places it. And yet he goes on that if that's the level, that's the extent at which we should love, how much more ought we to love our fellow brothers and sisters by just providing for their physical needs? There's many of us here who are in need. Take a look at the Green Bay area itself, and there's a lot of people who are in hunger, who don't have homes. Jesus exhorts us to love our neighbor, provide for their needs. So also, if we take just a look at our congregation here, there's a lot of people in physical need, a lot of people who are struggling with illnesses, maybe recovering from accidents, broken bones, recovering from surgeries. As Christians, we're called to love and to care for those people. And physical needs are just scratching the surface. Maybe if we think about all the emotional and the mental distress that we go through as individuals. Just a week or two ago, I visited a conference, and one of the guest speakers gave a very grim statistic. He said that 1 in 5 of Americans could be clinically diagnosed with mental illness in one given year. In 1 year, 1 in 5 individuals classified or would meet the requirements for mental illness. Taking a look at the congregation here, if we have 100, 150 people, that means 20 or 30 people inside this sanctuary could be struggling with mental illness. We as Christians are called to love our neighbors, to care for them, to support them. If physical and mental and emotional isn't enough, we also are called to love and care for those who are in spiritual need. Outside these walls, there are plenty of people who have yet to hear God's word, who don't know Jesus. We're called as sheep of Christ to share that good news with them. Every time that we look around and we see that our love is being manifest in our care for those who are here in the congregation or outside the walls, we see that love being manifest, and John reminds us that we are one of his sheep. That love is a testimony that we are one of his sheep. For us as Lutherans, I think that can feel a little bit, or leave us a little bit uneasy, can't it? We start talking about and looking at that wool of a sheep, and we think that that wool of a sheep for us as Christians should be faith. We talk a lot about faith and how faith itself is the defining characteristic of what makes us a Christian. Why, of all things, would John jump right to love? Where is faith, after all? In fact, if we take a look at Lutheran doctrine and teaching, if we came up with a list, and it was a little bit more of a realistic list rather than the list I shared with you earlier, the I might be a Lutheran if list, if we came up with an appropriate list for us as Lutherans, maybe we would look to our confessions, what we believe and teach. If we were to boil it down, maybe reduce it a little bit, we would come up with maybe the small catechism and say, this is what we believe. And if we really wanted to reduce it even more, maybe we would come up with the solas of the Reformation. We are saved by grace alone through faith. And that's what we have. We take a look at the sheep and we think that that outward characteristic of us as Christians should be faith. Well, John answers this riddle in verse 23, and I invite you to take a look at that in the epistle. He says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." You'll notice that he begins with one commandment, and then he quickly rattles off two things. No, John wasn't bad at math, but rather he's telling us something profound. Faith and love, they are the same commandment. You see, you can't have both of them separate. They can't be separated. You can't have love without faith, and you can't have faith without love. Faith manifests itself in love. And the Holy Spirit, who is the one who is working in your hearts, who provides you with that faith, when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, the Holy Spirit also works through you to do good deeds. The Holy Spirit doesn't just decide, well, I'm going to deliver one to this person and the other to the other. Both are given to you. It's true, only faith saves us, but the Holy Spirit works both in us. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are at work preparing in advance the works that we are going to do. When we see those works being manifest in our lives, they remind us that not only are our lives filled with love, but they're filled with faith, and that we ourselves have been claimed as one of God's own. We are God's sheep. What about those times that we don't always feel like one of Jesus's sheep? What about the times when we take a look at our lives and we scratch our heads wondering, why is love not being manifest in our lives today? Perhaps there's those times when we flare up in anger, whether it be toward a loved one or towards someone who we're working with. We come back at night and we think to ourselves, well, gosh, I really shouldn't have done that. Sin begins to weigh down upon us. We see that our love has grown cold, and we wonder at times, maybe even whether or not we're one of Christ's own sheep. Or perhaps take a look at the list that I gave to you earlier about all the people in need, both in this congregation and abroad. There's so many people, and when we neglect that, we can ask ourselves, well, gosh, where is that love? We may at these times wonder whether or not we're one of Christ's sheep. And it's at this time that John directs us not to our own selves, not to look at how white our own wool is or how much love is coming from us, but he redirects our gaze away from our faith and our love, which may fail, to the faith and the love that never fails. He redirects our gaze to the Good Shepherd. Take a look at verse 20. Whenever our heart condemns us, that is, whenever we have those days in which our love has grown cold, when we look around and we wonder where our love is at, when sin weighs down upon us, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Yes, he knows all of our sins, but he also knows the work of the Good Shepherd, which John tells us in verse 16, we know his love, that he laid down his life for us. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for us by taking all that sin that weighs heavy upon us, all of the cold love that we have accumulated, all the doubt that we may have in our hearts. He lays it down when he brought it to Calvary, putting it to death once for all. The love and faith of our Good Shepherd does not fail. Taking a look at sheep, there are a lot of things that sheep do not do so great. They're not strong, they're not fast, they don't have a lot of brains. But interestingly, sheep do or can hear their shepherd's voice. It's very important that a sheep has a good shepherd to guide them and to protect them from all that danger. That good shepherd, Christ, calls to us and we listen to him. He called to us in our baptism. He called to us in our baptism where, with his name, he brought us into his own kingdom. We were taken out of the flock of Satan. with all of the dirt and the grime that we had, and when we were washed in that water of holy baptism, all of that dirt and grime was taken away. We were left with this nice, white, vibrant wool, not of our own love and righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And God took us and he branded us, labeled us his own, and brought us into the flock. The Good Shepherd continues to call to us, and we listen. He calls to us in the Lord's Supper, where he tells us, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Just as John tells us in chapter 1 of his epistle, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Good Shepherd calls us in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and he continues to call you today in his word. When you open up scripture at home and you read it, God is directing you by the Holy Spirit. When you come here and you hear God's word being proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is once again at work in your hearts. You're listening to the call of the Good Shepherd, being directed and guided in your life to grow in faith, but also to love your neighbor. One day, we know our Good Shepherd will call us one last time. He'll call us out of the grave to live with him in eternal life. It's that day that we'll be living with him with our white, luscious wool, that of Christ's righteousness, with no more sin. And it's in the Good Shepherd's name that we pray all this. Amen.